I remember hearing when in the presence of such charity was just make sure you don't come across like you're desperate. Run anything but that. Don't say five words when three words will do. Don't linger too long when the date is over. Pretend like you have something more important to do. And for goodness sake, whatever you do, do not call the next day. That's the clearest signal that you are a desperate sod. But I was a desperate sod. From wearing horrible cologne, promised to allure the female pheromone, to modulating my vocal pitch, to feigning complete absence of care, or conversely acting as if the entire law of gravity was crushing down upon me. Yes, I tried everything. So desperate to meet and attract the right someone, the right anyone. I even remember sinking so low to seriously consider it. If George Costanza had it right in that episode of Seinfeld, we're doing the total opposite of my every instinct would be the key to my relationship salvation. Unchecked, desperation sure can lead to the ridiculous, to awkwardness, and that's if you're lucky with just a mild diagnosis. More severe, desperation can lead you to chase anything with a scent, welcoming anything that exchanges a glance, to settling, to dependency, to codependency, to completely losing yourself, your inhibitions, your passions even, all for the sake of finding and securing something that would have been better off left undiscovered and unhandled. And oh boy, when taken outside of the context of dating, desperation can look really, really ugly. Think cheating on an exam. Think faking a resume. Think throwing a colleague under the bus to remain a step ahead. Think posting about every mundane thing that you've done in your life just to get another like or retweet. Think abusing painkillers, all to numb yourself or run from your demons. Think lying under oath. Think money laundering. Think back-channel deals. Think whatever it takes to promote and preserve one's self-interests. Think of all the politically motivated violence, the shooting at the congressional baseball game, the attack on that bus in Portland, the immoral legislation both under consideration and already passed that will no doubt affect, if not destroy, the lives of millions. Just to erase an opponent's legacy, just to get a win for the party, just to protect one's seat. When you begin to think that all the walls around you are crashing down, you can truly begin to believe that your only way out is to do something rash, something drastic, something so unusual and so desperate that you might even forget to consult with your reason or your morality. Desperation, then, my friends, it ain't a good look. I mean, look. It can even lead you to look right into God's face and laugh. As Austin repeated multiple times in both our Old and New Testament lessons this morning, we witnessed dramatic episodes where people who were once so desperate for a reversal of their fortune, they yet openly shake their heads at the divine premise and promise of good news. Sarah not only laughs at God's promise of a child promised to her in advanced age, but like our attorney general in front of an intelligence panel, she also can't recall that she ever did so in the first place. Desperation, it just makes you not think right. Likewise, when the onlookers in the crowd, folks who were so desperate to find excuse to not believe in Jesus Christ. When they hear the poor family beg Jesus to resurrect their dead daughter, they laugh at the family's tears. They laugh at the bravery of their request. Desperation just makes you not act right. And yet, in both cases, you can almost sympathize with the mockers, the laughers. I mean, really, we say, get real, God. Old women who have been barren can't suddenly be with child. Children who have died can't suddenly be restored to life, no matter how much the bereaved wish it were so. Just let those people cling to their sorrows, we say. Just let them go through their grief. You see, I think too often, we who despair, we don't really want to receive any help. We don't want to hear a divine promise. Because clinging to that hopelessness shapes our identity. It becomes our identity. And so we trick ourselves into believing that if we lose our sadness and overcome our sorrows, we would be reduced to nothingness. And so we wear our grief like a badge. Because if self-denial is all that we have, and pity is all that we can get, well then, at least that's something. But here at the turn, I think it would be wise to remember that as much as it can feel like it, desperation is not depression. It does not manifest as apathy nor lethargy. Sure, there might be some tendencies of each mixed in, but those who truly feel desperate, they are charged to do something, to do anything, anything at all that might change their circumstances. So I'm not sure that we could classify Sarah as being desperate. She was probably more depressed than anything. Who can blame her with all those fruitless years? But the woman with the hemorrhages? Now she was desperate. We were told that she's been suffering for 12 years. She was bleeding for 12 years. She could have given up. She probably should have given up. Out of anyone, she should have been depressed, apathetic, lethargic, ready to laugh hysterically at the presence of Christ finally showing up. Luke's gospel recounts that she had seen every doctor. She had seen every healer. But to no avail. I imagine that she was told she should surrender all hope, to give in. But then, perhaps at that moment of giving in, she sees Jesus moving through the crowds. And thus, flashing before her eyes was hope, was change, was something, was anything to cling to. And so, with a desperate determination, she pushed her broken body through the masses and reached out and touched his garment. And in that moment, she did something. In that moment, that rash, impulsive act of desperation, it led to her remedy, to her salvation. She was healed. Just maybe then, desperation can also be a good thing. Maybe if we channel it properly, perhaps desperation can be the very encouragement that people who have all the cards stacked against them needs to fight. To fight the status quo, to challenge the consensus. Some years ago, Louise Taylor, member of our congregation, Louise was in a bad car accident. Her vehicle accelerated into a brick wall, and both her knees shattered on impact. Louise, I don't think you would mind me saying you were not exactly a spring chicken when this happened. Approaching 90 years of age, the doctors offered you little in the way of hope. The surgeries to restructure her bones. risk, especially considering her age. There was no guarantee that her body would respond positively post-op. Nevertheless, he elected for the knife. After the procedure, the doctor, who didn't exactly have a warm bedside manner, said, "Well, I've done everything I could. Now it's up to you." After that lovely sentiment, Louise was then transferred to St. Joseph's Villa right here in White Marsh for what would be an extensive recovery and rehabilitation process. There she spent months, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, in a tiny room that had no bathroom and no discernible amenity. Once again, she was given dour reports that the chances of her walking again were slim at best, that she should expect to be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life, that she should expect and need assistance the rest of her life, that she should sell her house, move into a nursing home, and certainly put aside all dreams of ever driving again. And truth be told, Louise, I think at first you had some skepticism and some despair, and who could have blamed you? And yet, my friends, here she is. Here you are, Louise, walking again, driving again, living in your house, teaching piano lessons, eating cheese and wine with me whenever I visit. And oh, how good both taste, especially when remembering that horrible gruel at the villa that they call food, especially remembering that gym where people's shoulders slumped and their mouths drooled, especially remembering that visit around Christmas where you and I looked out your window at the cold blanket of snow drifting down, and you were looking out at a world you were not sure you were ever going to re-enter. And yet, here you are, Sunday after Sunday. You had every reason to wallow in sadness, to be consumed by self-pity, to be hopeless, to give up, and yet you persisted. Yes, you had help. Yes, you had the church. You even had those nuns, those funny nuns that came by and visited with their communion and their prayers. But in the end, it was you. It was your determination and your desperation that made you get back to this place. But let that place not be your reality nor your end. It was you. And amen to that. Now, of course, there are scenarios, there are examples that we can all conjure where people simply can't, couldn't, or aren't strong enough to be like Louise. Cases where there wasn't even an opportunity to be desperate or a chance to get better. But for those of us who are still living and still able, the trick, I think, is to not deny it, but to be ready to admit that we, yes, even we, despair at times, and that that's okay, and that that's normal, that along this long road of life, we will undoubtedly visit as many valleys as we will peaks, but as the best as we can, and as much as we are able, we mustn't let those valleys, those painful memories, those insecure thoughts, those darker desires, those troubling realities consume us, nor can we afford to wallow within them. Rather, we must try to check and to balance them, to confront and desensitize them, lest they completely overrun us, lest they begin to define us, lest they cut us up enough such that we consider doing the ridiculous, the crazy, or even the harmful. Lest we even laugh in the face of God when presented with God's promise. Lord, may we always then trust that the promise of this gospel, that is the promise of hope, is both real and tangible. May we always believe that through any danger, toil, or snare, that we will overcome. And may we always be so desperate and determined to mend ourselves, as well as all others around us, such that we can begin to stop the bleeding such that we can begin to bring about the change that we as a